No, I think we're at the point now, like, and Sam, I mean, it's no secret. Like, I've been very frustrated with Marvel for a little while now. And so I think Feige has lost the plot.
It's more than a linear path. It's a prison of endless possibility.
Oh no, fucking, what's his face? Gotta say something funny.
So, when you are ready.
Am I starting it?
Hey, whenever you want. Maybe I leave this part in.
Oh, okay. That can't be it. Lords and ladies, beggars and commoners, highborn alike, welcome back to House of the, what is our podcast called again? Hey, it's Sam.
It's the Watchers of the
And
Plus, Sam,
yeah,
but like,
Watchers of the
we're
Plus,
not even
House of the
watching.
Watchers of the Plus. That's what
But
I was going
we're not
for.
even watching any of these things, so just wait.
Oh, so welcome back, everybody. We're off our summer break slash winter break, and we're back. We've got plenty to talk about. This is Sam Adams, and I got my main man Mose to the right of the mic. How you doing, Mose?
I'm doing well. And Sam, we almost we you know, look, it's been a while. And it was almost a little bit longer because, not gonna lie, Voodoo Ranger has me by the throat right now. So it's been a long week, and I had to get a cup of coffee in order to kind of balance myself. But we have a lot to go with, and so I didn't want to just, you know, here we are, episode what, 28, 29? I think it's 29. So
Yeah.
here we go.
Yep. And stuff's coming out rapidly, so we gotta get on top of our game here. There's so much to watch and so much to talk about
Well, I
here.
mean, there's a lot of cool shit out here and like stuff that you didn't even know about, and I'm here to tell you, like, look, I'm not gonna lie, I've had some other hobbies besides watching TV.
Oh, I mean, I've been to New Orleans and back, so I was. I had, I mean, although I did watch a lot of TV when I got back because I needed about 3 days on the couch to recover
Look,
from New Orleans.
one of my new things is Gunpla, which is making little Gundam models. And it has gotten out of hand, but it keeps my powder dry. So that's how I can figure it.
Well, one of my hobbies is seeing bad movies in the theater. Even though I know it's going to be bad and I know I'm not going to like it, and I hope that it's at least bad enough that I can laugh at it. But I've come to report, everybody, Black Adam appears to be in Morbius territory where it's like, as
No
soon as it comes
shit.
on, I mean, I will say this, there were a cool couple rock kicking ass scenes that were pretty cool. But other than that, I fell asleep twice during it. I fell asleep during the final battle that seemed to take 45 minutes.
Sam, I had such high hopes for this movie. I'm not gonna
I
lie to
mean,
you.
they've only been working on it for 13 years. You'd think they'd work out some of the kinks, but instead, it's almost like paint by numbers, where you're like, okay, that kid is supposed to be John Connor from T2, and he's teaching the T-1000 how to talk slang and be cool around people, you know, and then, oh, and this character is the You know, oh, and then we're gonna have him be Drax from the Guardians a little bit because he's super literal about things. And oh, and we're gonna make it's just you can almost just see the like, it's not even inspiration, like just straight taken from other
So,
things. I mean,
are you
Dr. Fate is basically Dr. Strange. He does about two
well,
different tricks in it.
okay.
I mean,
Well, I saw that analog straight away, but like, so you're telling me that like Dwayne Rock is basically T2?
Well, no, he just has that kind of, I'm from the past, but I don't understand things. And then he's trying to explain to him like what slang means and what everybody's up to these days. And like, this is a TV, like, but it's not even like, he doesn't even, he comes back from being asleep for 5,000 years, speaks perfect English, doesn't like, you know, is not nonplussed by like TVs or advertising or large buildings or anything or cars. He's just like, whatever, just, oh, there's something in my way, I'm going to smash it. Like, he, like I said, he's kind of a badass, but like, other than that, there's like one, there's one iota of a decent part of this movie. And that's when, you know, Amanda Waller calls in the Justice Society, go get this Black Adam guy, he's wrecking shop, we can't have it. And they show up, and in the meanwhile, he's beating up some kind of gang that has taken over the country, because you know how, you know, gangs take over countries.
Yeah, like, that happens all the time, yeah.
Which I guess is from the comics, but it's just like, that's the best, you know, you've got this cast of characters, and the best you can come up with is intergang, with all these, like, I don't know, South African gangster guys on hover bikes.
Oh,
that
shit.
Just didn't seem intimidating or cool whatsoever. Like, meanwhile, the little kid is like stealing their, like, their walkie talkies and skateboarding around. And I'm like, yeah, in a real country, he gets shot to death for that. Like, if there's a real, you know, something like that, like, well, why are you trying to like have this like weird, like, I don't know. It just did nothing worked. And, but they have one part. So the Justice Society flies in, they save a couple of these inner gang guys from getting killed. And one of the characters kind of goes, oh, so we finally get a superhero, and now you're here to save the guys that have been oppressing us for all these years. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting angle. Never brought up again. Never touched on. Not a big deal. You know, half the stuff that happens in the movies, it's like, the movie is like, oh, it has to happen so we get to the next part of the movie. Like, it doesn't, it makes no sense.
Oh, Sam, I'm getting crushed. I really, this was the movie that I had like kind of high hopes for.
I thought you were being facetious. Are you serious?
Well, look, I mean, I think DC's been on kind of a slight uptick.
Well, and The Rock is a legit star. Like,
yeah,
he's cool. There's a reason they cast him for this. I don't think that this is the death of these movies, but it just really felt like a, you know, it just felt like these DC movies have been where it's like they don't have a real point of view, and the studio maybe has a little bit too much say in the script and the beats of it. And, you know, it's a little too CGI heavy. There's definitely a red beam into the sky at one point. No, it's just, you know, they fall on a lot of tropes, and it seems like they stole a lot of ideas from other more successful movies and tried to just jam it in without worrying too much about like the plot, like, you know, or if it made sense, or, you know, what, like, there's a part where Shazam gets locked up in it, and it's there's kind of almost no point to it other than, ooh, they need him at the end and he's not there, and so we need a dramatic, needs to come back.
Is like Team Shazam like a thing in this? Or like, are they buddies?
Oh, not Shazam. Sorry, I keep saying Shazam, and I'm saying Black Adam, because they look the same. It's the same character basically, right? With black costume instead of a red costume. Like,
so the Shazam family is not a part of this?
No, they're not a part of this at all. The Justice Society locks him up, and then they need him at the end. And so it's like, okay, he needs a dramatic breakout scene where he can't speak and say, he still has to say Shazam to get his powers. That's one of the reasons I was saying that.
Okay, so Shazam Society, who's all in it? Or I mean Justice League.
Big guy, Twister Lady, Dr. Fate, and Hawkman. And Hawkman, it's like, is he an alien? Is he a rich guy with wings? Who knows? Is he a guy that comes back to life every time he dies? We don't know. He lives in a big mansion and has a jet that flies side to side, you know, like planes do, where they weave around for no reason in the sky. And then when you cut to the inside of the cockpit, they're all just standing there like it's no big deal.
Oh, come on.
It's like that kind of bad CGI stuff where it's like, it does. And it's like, oh, we have a jet that comes out of the floor of a mansion. Where have I seen that before? Oh, every X-Men movie, you're just going to do the same thing. Like, it's just, and it's like, why is he in a mansion? I don't know. Is he rich? We don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. Why does he want to beat up this guy so bad? I don't know. What Amanda Waller told him to, this really solid,
this Amanda Waller like angle is really getting tired.
Yeah, like they're using her as the Nick Fury, and it's like, well, not everybody hates Nick Fury though. So there's the disconnect right there. Like, you need you need a likable character for that
well,
role.
And like,
and this is not
well,
it. Like,
and Sam, I mean, we watched Peacemaker. Like, Amanda Waller's not a part of it.
And yeah, well, she's in it, but like, yeah, it's not, she isn't a big piece. And heck, if nothing else, I thought Peacemaker kind of decredited her a little bit. So,
yeah,
you know,
like completely.
She always finds a way on her feet, though, you know, so that's kind of part of it, too. But that's another character from Peacemaker, isn't it? Who's the I can't remember the character's name that Peacemaker kind of has the hots for.
Oh.
James Gunn's wife. I can't remember her character name.
Did she have powers?
No, she was just like a spy thing.
Like Agent Lady.
Yeah. So she's in it, and for some reason wearing like a Trinity cosplay Matrix costume. And it's like, oh, so you guys didn't even see the fucking Peacemaker and maybe reshoot that so she doesn't look so ridiculous. Like maybe she looks something like her character. And it's like, so it's like weird. They can't even get that kind of stuff right where it's like, oh, I thought she, like, I think I heard on the Weekly Planet, they're like, I thought she was in hotels, like spying on people. Like, why is she all of a sudden in this underground facility that is going to lock up Black Adam? You know?
Wow.
She's literally there for that one scene to be like, all right, you're here. Check mark. Cameo finished.
That's no, I, this is really sad, Sam.
So, I mean, and I will admit this, you know, the scene at the end with the post-credit, I mean, I'm sure you've been ruined the post-credit scene. It's been used in the marketing.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, you know, like The Rock has been talking about it before the movie even came out.
All right, shoot.
And like the rumor is The Rock leaked it, but it's, you know, Henry Cavill shows up at the end. And I have to admit, they used the old Superman music. They had his hair kind of coiffed just like George Reeves.
Yes, okay.
And man, I got that like vibe of like, ooh, I kind of got chill. Like, I don't even like those old Superman movies. And I kind of just got these chills like, oh, is this the new...
Okay, Sam,
is this
Sam.
The new guy?
This was something that I had been hearing in the wind. This is the only thing I kind of heard, but I didn't know where this is coming from. And so this makes perfect sense. Apparently, Cavill, the reason he left Witcher was because in his mind, like, he's really tied to the, like, the source material. And he's a stickler for details. And they interviewed him for something else. And he said, I can't tell you anything more about Superman, you know, that I am attached to it. But what I want to bring back is optimism, like a positivity and heroics.
No, and like honestly, just like I almost want to go back and watch the YouTube again to see if I'm crazy or if he did have his hair a little different. But like I said, it just gave me those vibes, and like who knows, maybe he's playing a Earth 2 version of the Superman we know from all the Justice League and all that bullshit.
I think,
and they're just, that's going to be the thing then, is they're going to be like, okay, that movie happened in a different universe. Here's our universe that's kind of close to it, you know, kind of thing. Like, it just, I think, you know, which we kind of leads us into our next thing, is that James Gunn's taken over DC. And so, you know, it's kind of wait and see, but, you know, he's already making Peacemaker 2. He's already got his blueprints on some of this, you know, with the Suicide Squad, which is probably one of their better movies of the last few years. And
1,000%.
You know, we'll see if Warner Brothers actually lets him put his stamp on this, or if they're, you know, he's going to get a 4-year contract to sit around and be flustered like everybody else has.
No, I think we're at the point now, like, and Sam, I mean, it's no secret. Like, I've been very frustrated with Marvel for a little while now. Mm-hmm. And so I think Feige has lost the plot.
Well, did you see what he came out and said Phase 4 was all about? He finally kind of came out and admitted what it was.
What's that?
He said it's all about introductions. And that's kind of what I've felt, is that it's like, oh, we're meeting WandaVision, we're meeting her kids. Captain America and the Winter Soldier, we're meeting the new Falcon, and we're meeting the new Captain America, and we're also meeting like the young Patriot guy that's the grandson of the original Black Captain America. In Loki, we meet another Loki, and we meet Kid Loki. In even just What If, we meet Agent Carter, which people seem to be in love with, you know. who else? We meet America Chavez in the Doctor Strange movie. We meet the new Hawkeye in the Hawkeye show. So, you know, we meet She-Hulk. We meet Hulkling in the She-Hulk show. So it really does, you know, we bring back Daredevil. We bring back Kingpin. So it really has been like this huge expansion of the Marvel Universe, which I dig. But I think the one thing, and also I
but
think
Sam, these are all these
of,
are
all... I think the one problem you run into with that is that wasn't that everyone's biggest problem with Iron Man 2 is that it was just a let's introduce more characters and set up the Avengers movie, and so it's almost like they made a whole phase out of a mistake they made in one of their movies.
Well, but see, this isn't a mistake, Sam. I mean, the people. What they're forcing?
I'm saying the Iron Man 2. That's the mistake they made. Is it was too cameo heavy and not story.
Yeah, but the problem is they're bringing I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you here. They're bringing in Ironheart and like the all new brand different Avengers. And this came up in the comics, and it was the worst part of and the worst selling of all comics.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they're planning a Young Avengers movie next. I mean,
they're
getting,
not.
What,
but
Thunderbolts, and it's coming. Don't get me wrong, but
they can't get Tony, so they're going to do Ironheart. They're doing all these sub replacements. I'm not even allowed to say Namor.
Well, yeah, Namor is coming. The thing is,
no,
look,
it's not
look
Namor.
At just this next
it's
movie, we're getting
Namor.
Three introductions. Namor,
it's Namor,
New Black Panther,
no.
And Ironheart.
It's Namor.
Oh, I think I always say Namor.
I know because it was reverse for Roman, but the way that they're doing it, see, they're changing Namor, our Namor, into Namor because they're making it Mayan and not the Submariner and the Atlantean.
Well, I kind of like that just because, you know, why not give it a little fresh perspective? I mean, we've seen Aquaman, like, let's make it a little bit different. And really, you know, how awesome was getting to see Wakanda. So to give it like,
Sam,
culture, like, because before it was just kind of generic white guy with a flat top and wings on his feet. This is one of those times where it's like, you know, certain times, like, yeah, you get a little, you know, you get a little annoyed when you make a character change.
Can I tell you a little?
I feel like this one's fine.
Let me tell you a little something about called capitalism. Okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
No.
It's 100% a try and get more people in the Marvel 10 type of situation.
No, it's not. It's about changing it. They learned this from Star Wars. Disney changes it to, and Star Trek, they change the character just enough so that the estate cannot get money based around the character. So
well, that's the thing. They don't have to give anybody any Marvel's already in trouble for this, is they don't give their creators of these characters shit for these movies anyway. I mean, they get like a check for like $5,000. And then sometimes if it's like two creators, they have to split it. It's like, here's your $2,500. We made $250 million on opening weekend.
Okay,
and you're like,
but what's half?
Damn, like, I'm not saying they have to get rich off it, but like.
But Sam, what's half a zero?
Well, I mean, but I mean, I don't think that your conspiracy theory, for coming from a business major, it's not quite. It's they're not paying these guys anything anyway, so it's like it's not like they're trying to save the $10,000.
But that's the thing, Sam. They're not paying the estate of the creators zero. So
no, I mean they're paying them some, but I mean it's still an embarrassment of what they're, because they really don't contractually owe them anything, because especially the Marvel writers. They were always staff writers anyway. I mean, I think DC is this way as well. That's why like Image became a thing, because nobody owned their creation. So as soon as you came up with Quicksilver, the Scarlet Witch or whatever, well, now here's your paycheck you get this week. And we own that character. Thank you very much. So it doesn't matter if they don't owe those estates anything. So, I mean, they do this as a gesture of goodwill, but then it just comes off so hollow and just corporate and greedy. And it's like, you're Disney. Like, give Ed Brubaker some money for the Winter Soldier. You've gotten three movies and a TV show out of him, and you know he's still an interesting character that you want to see more of. So you're like, God, you couldn't have broken off $50,000, $100,000 out of the billions that you've made out of the four movies his character. And I'm not saying everybody needs to get like, you know, I'm not trying to be a what do you call it, socialist about it, but I do think that it's like, if anything, like, here's a guy that probably should be getting a few million for it. You can't break him off a tenth of that, you know.
No.
You can't give it off. You can't
exactly.
give him 1/30th of what he deserves.
No,
you know.
The answer.
How much did you pay the screenwriters? Give him that much.
Yeah. Well, it's not about the screenwriters. It's about the IP in general. And,
well, that's what I'm saying. Is that if at least you're paying somebody to write it, be like, okay, well, his character is in it, so he quote unquote wrote some of this. We're going to take some of his ideas from the comic book that he wrote and put it in the movie. Okay, you're a credited writer on this, and you get the same pay that whatever head writer gets.
Okay, but Sam, where's the Submariner from?
I don't know, 1930?
Okay,
that guy's
no,
still probably not around
no,
to create
no,
that one.
No, when you go underwater, where does he live?
In the ocean?
Keep going. The city
the
under
Atlantic Ocean?
where what's the city that he lives in?
Oh, Atlantis?
Okay, but that's not correct in this version.
Well, yeah, it's Talokan or
yeah,
something like
it's,
that.
It's
or,
a yeah, they've changed over 25% of the character, thus they owe the creator zero.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. They owe the creator zero regardless. So
bullshit, Sam.
Because they own these characters. They don't. And then this is like a whole. This is like the same reason that people are getting in trouble, like the whole Dave Chappelle problem with Netflix. It's because he made a show back when streaming wasn't ever a consideration. So when Comedy Central was getting, you know, $50 million for Chappelle's show to be on Netflix, and he had a gripe about it, it's like, well, he had a point. It's like, I couldn't have foreseen this. Like, that's not the artist's fault that, like, you paid me for a thing that would be around for a little while, and now it's this living, breathing, money-making thing, and you're not even giving me any sort of residuals
okay.
or anything.
All right, let me give you an example. Let me go a little simpler. You create a very cool, let's just say, cartoon character. And then I change it 25%. And then now it becomes a big thing. You created 75% of it. I augmented it 25%. But guess what you get? Nothing. And I'm going to get everything.
No, I know, but I'm telling you, in like if you look this up, they don't owe them anything anyway. So your theory is a little, your conspiracy theory is a little bit moot because they don't have to do that. Even the guys that they make exactly word for word, like the Winter Soldier, they gave Ed Brubaker like $5,000. They owed him nothing. They started putting it in the contracts, and it's like, you look at them, they're ridiculous.
Amounts.
And they can literally be like, what the other thing they do is they go like, okay, yeah, the Winter Soldier was in Avengers Endgame. He had 4 minutes of screen time of a 3-hour movie. So he was, you know, so they literally break down. They go like, okay, well, he was worth $2,000 in this movie or whatever.
So basically it's like big tech.
And they have to pay taxes on it.
If I make code for my company, it is my company. Mm-hmm. It's my company's IP. When those characters were created, they were absorbed by Marvel, and so Marvel owned them whole right anyway.
Yeah, yeah, oh. That's part of the reason that I think Image or one of those comic or maybe Dark Horse, one of those our Dark Horse might have been a DC thing. I think Image became a thing because it was people that wanted to own their characters, but have like a publisher to come to like a publisher umbrella.
Okay,
so like. The people that's why I think like Seth MacFarlane owns Spawn and
well, it's not Seth MacFarlane, like just
that
kind of
that,
stuff.
That like he
people,
left the Marvel machine of being like, I can't just make
Sam, people,
Spider-Man
Sam,
stuff
Sam, people are going to get mad when you say Seth MacFarlane owns Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Which MacFarlane?
No, it's not Seth MacFarlane. that's the Family Guy guy. Who owns Spawn?
It is MacFarlane, but it's not Seth.
Todd McFarlane.
Yes,
I knew I had half the name.
Yeah,
right?
I knew you did too. But frankly, I was too ripped to think of Todd McFarlane.
I just know he bought like didn't he buy Mark McGuire's home run ball?
Yeah,
when he was like balling out of control.
Yeah, well, bases ball. Okay, let's get.
But you know what? Let's
get positive.
So since we're here, Should we either talk about, should we talk, since should we talk about where we met? Should we talk about the new Daredevil? What'd you think? I have not quite gotten your thoughts on new Daredevil sneaking up in the She-Hulk.
Okay,
Or you
see,
still protested and refused to watch?
so Sam, look, you know, I know you know this, and there are elements of things that I will pirate, and I'll just say it straight out. I will pirate and I will not. When I saw Daredevil, I saw the leaks, obviously. I mean, I'm not completely blind to things. First of all, for me, and anybody who says that they like the yellow and black gear is either older than me and was into Daredevil at that time, which would put you at somewhere in the 60-year-old range, okay? So, and that's fine, and I respect that. But if you're younger than me and you say that the yellow and black is rules, I'm going to call you a liar.
Now, are you talking comics version or
Yes.
the TV version?
Okay, well, they're one and the same. So
Well, here's the thing. I gotta admit, I liked it. But now, not that I'm saying I'm a big fan of the comics version of the yellow and black. And I think that they overrated how much yellow they put in there. Like, honestly, I didn't notice it until you actually saw the show. Every time they showed those leaks, I'm all, what yellow? I don't see any yellow there. And it's like, I think it's just to give it a little contrast so it's not so samey as the Netflix version was. It looked a little goofier in his walk of shame than it did at
All
night.
right, so Sam, again, I didn't watch the show, but I'll tell you what, that kind of shit doesn't fly with me at all. And I don't give a fuck about any Alec McNeil bullshit She-Hulk that they're throwing down. That is garbage.
What, that you had a Daredevil walk of shame?
Well, Daredevil's really like on a different level, and then you're gonna like put him at that level? Fuck you. I have no
Yeah.
time for that. Again,
Grouchy
if
Mose.
but like if you guys think it's funny, like I get it because you don't like Daredevil. Like and but I but it's like you see it on this level. But like for me, it's like Daredevil was the one good, really solid ass show, and they pissed on him by wrecking him down.
See, I don't think so at all. Like, I now, granted, you didn't watch the show. I did. I think that the biggest problem the show had was they kind of built to some stuff that they never really resolved. They just kind of like hand waved away. You know, like somebody was after her blood, and you know, there was a group that was defaming her online. And I thought they had a good job of playing with those themes of like, they did a good job of anticipating some of the criticism they were going to get, and especially some of the dumber criticism they were going to get.
Yeah, this
But
is.
I kind of I thought it was akin to like when you see Spider-Man show up in an X-Men book or the
Bullshit,
Fantastic Four
Sam.
show up in.
But wait a minute. If they, you know, if Wolverine came across wearing boxers, walking out, you'd have a shit fit.
I don't. That's not necessarily that he got laid. He's probably
No.
hung over. Like I thought it was funny.
Come
Like, and
on, Sam,
like
come
I thought it
on.
was really still pretty true to like the Matt Murdock. Like he was the one that was kind of kept coaching her when they're having a drink at the bar, and he's like, "Hey, look at it. Kind of sounds like Jennifer Walters can help people out, and then when the law doesn't help them out, She-Hulk can." And it's like that's exactly what his whole thing is that he when the law fails people. He steps up and daredevils it up. And so, and I thought they increased his power set a little bit and not like crazy to where he was like knocking people out with one punch, but like he would jump over a building and parkour down the down. And
All
it
right.
felt more like the Daredevil of the comics that was like carefree
Well, first of all,
and
Daredevil was never
he could do a
one yeah.
flip
Yeah,
and
no.
like,
But when Daredevil was never a one-punch assassin.
no, he's not. Like they even have him do like a mini hallway fight where it takes him a little while to knock down three guys and then four other guys show up and it's kind of funny because they all have varying different
Oh,
weapons.
I know. It's kind of funny because then she just jumps on
Yeah, exactly.
him.
So it was but I mean, you know,
Yeah.
I would say this show would have been better if it was just
No.
case of the week, weird Marvel
I'll take
thing.
that.
Like those were the best episodes,
Sam,
like Mr. in
but
what's
all the things that you're saying are the things that w would be very cool, but did you see that?
They had some of those episodes where it was just she's got a legal case, their friends have a legal case, they're working on something for the Abomination, or they're working on something for Wong. Like the Wong episode was hilarious. I would say that if you were going to watch one episode, to watch that one. But I think that where they got bogged down was trying to make it too much like a Marvel thing. And that's where I think that they could have just left it alone and don't have a mysterious organization that you're wondering who's it a part of and what are they trying to do. And it, like, I think that's one of the things that these just all like, I think Marvel needs to get away from is having the mystery that brings you back to the next week kind of thing. I mean, like WandaVision, it kind of worked, but like, Captain America and Winter Soldier, we kept wondering what's the deal with this gang? What's the problem? And we never really got any answers. Yeah. So I think sometimes the whole, like, why am I here? What's going on? Who's after me thing? Like that trope's gotta go. Like I don't mind just being straight up. I look at Andor. We've met all the characters in the first episode. And I mean, I don't know how much of Andor you've watched, but I can't say enough good about it.
The answer is zero.
Zero knows. I'm missing out on some good stuff right here.
Sam.
There's not a lightsaber to be found.
Sam, I'm not giving Disney any money right now.
You know how to watch these without worrying about Disney's dollars.
You're right. But you know what? My time is more valuable than watching shit over shit. And if they're gonna turn my characters, the marquee of their TV, if they're gonna bring those in, it better be for a good reason, and they better not turn them into turds. And that's what scares me about Born Again. And I haven't even brought that up until just now.
Oh, I hear you. I mean, I think that it's kind of dependent on who's the writer, who's the director. I mean, hopefully they do. I think that's probably the problem that Marvel's had with this expansion of characters, of shows and movies, is that, you know, they used to be able to go to a well, see if they like somebody. If they didn't, they'd move on to a new director. And, you know, the Russo brothers didn't come on until the second Captain America movie. And, you know, they ended up doing four big ones. And look, we're about to get our second Ryan Coogler movie. And the rumors are he's going to be doing Secret Wars down the line. And so, you know, but when you're trying to make 10 things at once, like, it's kind of hard to really just pick those apples out of the orchard. You know,
it's not. But the problem is it's the shareholders. It's time to slow the F down and
do quality. I think that Boba Fett taught us that.
Slow it down.
We can't just make a whole show on the fucking volume. I mean, because if you watch Andor, you can see they shot this on cliff sides. They went to locations. It looks gorgeous. They have, you know, the sets, you know, they have plenty of shit happening in hallways that isn't nearly as boring as fucking being in the palace, Jabba's palace, and fucking Boba Fett sitting around doing nothing.
Right.
Talking about crimes and dollars and tributes and shit.
Yeah. I totally agree. You know, hey, look, I thought Mandalorian was great. I've gone on record with that. I really wanted to love Boba Fett, but Boba Fett wasn't about Boba Fett.
I feel like Andor is like, you know, we all say the Empire is evil, but let's actually show you what oppression looks like in this universe and what overreach and, you know, lack of freedoms really look like, as opposed to just the, oh, they blew up a planet, they're the bad guys, you know, where it's not,
is this what,
and maybe you see the wheels of that bureaucracy.
Is Andor like an Antifa recruitment video?
No, it's a how did Cassian become part of the Rebel Alliance and be part of this mission that ended up saving everything.
I like the idea of Andor.
I'm telling you, I think that this is the grown-up show. You're like, this is not, this is like, anti-Boba Fett.
Yeah, I mean, I think I want to watch Andor. I really do. The problem is, I know what happens to Andor.
See, yeah, you know what? I felt that way going into it, and the first two episodes are slow. Like, I would say you'd almost need to watch the first three to kind of get into it. Like, and that's kind of how they're broken down. It's like each three episodes is kind of like a little arc into itself. Like the first,
how many episodes are they doing?
The first three are kind of like, how does he get on the Empire's radar anyways? And start,
well, how many episodes are they doing? Six?
No, they just finished episode 9 and they're doing 12. It's two 12 episode seasons.
Looky Lou. Oh my goodness, Disney actually got a ball sack.
Yeah, and it's actually like, we're 9 episodes in, and I'm like, where is this going to go? Where is this going to end up? I can't believe there's only 3 left. Like, it's not slow. Like I said, the beginning's a little slow, but it's just, they're building that world, you know? And I think part of it is, it's like they show,
do we get K2SO at the end?
I don't think he's supposed to be in the first season. I think he's supposed to be in the second season.
Oh, boo.
But that's the thing. The only characters you're going to know from this, from previous things, are him and Mon Mothma. And everybody else is a new character, and they're all very interesting. And, you know, Richie from The Beef.
Happy Days?
From The Bear is in it.
Okay.
He plays a rebellious lad.
Okay.
But the rest of the people I'd say are, who do we have in the Imperial, the ISB is, who was the maester for, that brought the mountain back to life?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Oh God. Qyburn. Maester Qyburn.
Okay.
He plays an ISB supervisor that he's very good and sinister in it.
Okay. I mean, look, that one is one of the ones that, like, do I pony up? I just did find out, though, my Hulu subscription includes Disney Plus. So actually, and this is the part that pisses me off, because I was actually paying Disney twice. But anyway, so I do have access to Disney Plus. I do want to put that out there and make it known. I just haven't turned it on.
It is known.
It's known. I mean, I'm not trying to be grumpy, Sam.
Try harder.
but the shit pisses me. Definitely. Look.
Well, what have you seen that you liked lately?
Okay. Let me tell you, Sam. I do have something. Peripheral on Amazon Plus. It is a very interesting psychological thriller. Okay. Involving, I don't have all the character names, and if we want to go down that path again, you need to watch one if we want to talk further about it. But it has that whole, it's cyberpunk West Virginia, but the cyberpunk portion of it, you know, you latch into a system, but it's actually, and I don't understand all the quantum physics around that yet at all, is it takes them to the future. So there is a robot that basically you inhabit from the future. Something happened within the span of 70 years where it seems as though maybe America may be gone, and they are backtracking history and understanding what exactly happened, as if there was a history that was lost. And so when this girl puts on the headpiece, this, you know, to connect in, she's actually 70 years in the future.
Okay.
There is something to this. Now, apparently it's being done by, like, you know, partially from
Hit girls in it
from Westworld. Yeah. And I don't know where I've seen her from.
Westworld, RIP.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
just got canceled today.
Well, everybody that's good out of Westworld probably is working on this show.
Yeah, you know, how about this? All the good talent from Westworld can now go to better shows. Come get gobbled up by the Marvel Universe. Do we want James Marsden back as Cyclops? Probably not. But he is way more dreamy than he was 10 years ago.
It could happen. But that is a show that I'm very excited about. It comes out on Fridays, which I honestly like The Boys. I like that it comes out once a week, and I know Andor does too. You don't have to stroke me on that one.
No, I think that the streaming companies are learning, because even Netflix has some things that are only coming out weekly. You know, like I've just gotten into The Great British Bake Off, and that releases on Fridays, and that's kind of an interesting, you know, I'd say that's a good thing. It's an interesting show for people who don't love reality shows, because it's kind of the anti-reality show. Like, everyone's super nice to each other. They actually help each other out. Like, I feel like in America, you hear people say a lot, like, I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to win, you
Yeah.
know? And it's like, meanwhile, over there, they're like helping each other get their cakes on the stand because they need a little extra, they need an extra set of hands. And like, they don't even win any money if they win the whole thing. It's
Well,
just done out of like sheer fun.
the new episode of Grand Tour also came out. And I don't know if
Grand Tour.
all right, Grand Tour was Top Gear. It was James May, Jeremy Clarkson, and what's his face? But I didn't know that I liked that show until I liked that show. And it really happened when they were starting to do the long form Grand Tour on Amazon.
Oh, nice. And then in that same realm, I've been watching a little Chef's Table Pizza, which just came out recently. So it profiles like five different pizzaiolas in the world that are very famous and kind of what their journey's been like. I had never really watched Chef's Table before, which is kind of a famous or in a well-known documentary series on Netflix, and it's pretty good.
Okay, it's on Netflix. Okay.
Yeah. And then what else did I watch on Netflix?
You watch Dahmer.
Oh, Dahmer. You know, if you just want to go to bed not feeling like awesome or wondering what your neighbors are up to, go ahead and watch Dahmer. It's very creeper. I know somebody that played a cop in the fourth or fifth episode. So that was half the reason I watched it.
Well, I
So,
mean, but it's Quicksilver.
yeah, well, he ain't quick in this. He's a drunk ass.
Well, it's funny.
He sounds like a millennial. He's constantly going, "Gosh, sorry, Dad, I didn't know. I'm so I didn't know." I was like, "Oh my God,
What?
is he the original millennial?"
He's not the only Avenger that's played Dahmer.
Oh, who else has?
Oh, really? Did I catch you?
I'm not a big watch murder creep type
Right.
of people per se,
Murder
but
porn. Jeremy Renner played Dahmer.
oh, okay. Yeah, Jeremy Renner's a special case. Oh, you know, something I discovered, it's not new, but
That's okay.
my Wire fans out there, if you love The Wire like I do, you have to watch We Own This City. It's a mini series done by David Simon on HBO. It's about cops in Baltimore. It's very much like pre-Freddie Gray, post-Freddie Gray policing in Baltimore and how the corruption that was kind of running around there and just just like it's basically The Wire except based on real stuff and how it's The Wire on, you know, following other cops, you know, it's kind of when what they're doing to be shady or get extra arrests
Are we
or whatever, you know,
on
just very,
based? Are we?
it's got our boy John Bernthal's the main actor in
Oh,
it.
really? Based on a
And
true story?
a lot of people have been saying that he should deserve some nominations for his role in it. He was great in it. A lot of Wire alumni are in there. Can't think of any other
You
names
know
off the
they
top
won't.
of my
You
head,
know they
but
won't give it to him, right?
what's that?
They won't give it to him, right?
Give what to him?
They won't give any accolades to him, Barenthal.
I don't know that they did.
No, they won't.
Oh,
It's because of
why?
Punisher.
Because what?
Punisher.
Oh, well, you think
Oh,
he can't be
no, he's on the list.
he's on the naughty list now?
Yeah, because he played an awesome character, but he's not allowed to be that character.
Yeah, it came out this year, so it's I don't know if
It won't happen, Sam. I'm just letting you know. I'm telling you who's on the list and who's not on the list.
well, here I'm already looking at 2022 Emmy snubs, Our Flag Means Death and We Own the City. So yeah, that is a shame because it really is a very interesting show and told from multiple perspectives and timelines and stuff, so it's really
I know that's what you wanted, but I'm just letting you know what. You know, this is what your Disney and that side of the fence won't let you have.
Hey, the boys over at the watch, they were all about it. So
Okay, do are they
I feel
are they voters?
vindicated.
Are they voters?
What's that?
They
Are they
don't.
the voters? No, they're
No, exactly. That's what I'm
not.
saying. I'm glad. I'm just letting you, I'm letting those that are listening to this let them understand that the things that you like doesn't mean that you're going to get accolades. So you have to like what you like.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Awards are stupid. I mean, I could tell you the amount of times I've seen a guy win an award in a sporting event that you went, oh, I would have given it to this guy, or, you know, or just, yeah, Emmys, all this shit. Like half the time they get, like, look at what won the year that Shawshank won, like Forrest Gump. Yeah. What movie was better?
Yeah. I agree. I did start watching a show. This was based on a recommendation by one of my bosses, and I knew about it. YouTube Red then went to Netflix and apparently might be dead in the water now. And I bring it up because it's not awesome. It hits a nostalgia factor for me that, and a screenwriting factor for me. It's called Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know. So I was never a big Karate Kid fan, so it doesn't hit
Sam,
my nostalgia.
Sam, I wasn't necessarily either, but it. And I only saw the first one. I did see the second one. I never saw anything more than that. But it is interesting in creating, like, and having, how can I say it? Having a narrow field of, like, of what you can do in a series and, like, a narrow budget. And then bringing in people that, you know, and cameos, but making your supposed protagonist an antagonist and your antagonist the protagonist. And apparently those flip-flop. So just to let the cat out of the bag, you know, you have the Karate Kid and Johnny, they flip sides. So you feel better about Johnny than you did with Danny.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because it's like how, you know, like people change, first of all, and just because you're a good person when you're 16 doesn't necessarily mean you're still a good person when you're 40, and vice versa. If you're shitty when you're a kid, doesn't mean you're gonna be shitty your whole life. People grow, people change. It's, so I thought that was a really cool concept of, like, let's take the bad guy from an 80s movie and flip it around and have him be the protagonist. Like,
again,
it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's just an interesting experiment. And if you watch the first season and you don't watch anymore, fine. I won't fault you on that. I'm on season 3 right now, but, you know, I haven't gone too deep on that. Sam, I think the only thing that we talked off air on is Rick and Morty 5 episodes.
Yeah, I think that's all we got. So, I mean, I enjoyed them. Could I tell you an actual episode off the top of my head?
I can't.
No, because I've watched too many of the older ones recently. So it's like I'm thinking of the Mr. Nimbus episode from the sea that he, you know, he owns the police. He controls the police. You know, so it's like but I mean, it's still just enjoyable. Same with, like, Harley Quinn. Like, Harley Quinn was great this year. They dropped the episode count, which is always annoying because I was thinking that we had like 2 or 3 more episodes and then it was over. But, you know, continues to be a fun little corner of the DC universe where she actually calls Batman out about not spending his money on, like, schools instead of bat shit and stuff like that. And, you know, they go into Batman's psyche and, you know, just kind of interesting little, you know, exploration of all these characters that's fun and, you know, shitting on Bane all the long while.
Okay. You've got to cook dinner. I want to know two things.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is give me a yes or no. 3,000 Years of Longing.
Yeah. But not an enthusiast.
I like the way you said, yeah. You don't have to go any further.
I would honestly like more people's opinion of that movie to see, like, if there was some stuff I missed or if they had an opinion. Like, it's an interesting movie. I'm not here to say if it's a good movie or not. It intrigued me. I liked the acting in it. Was it good? I don't know. I wasn't mad I saw it. I didn't fall asleep during it. I wasn't, like, bored. It
wasn't Black Adam.
It wasn't also like, oh my God, this is, everyone go see this. Like, okay. That's the way I felt about, like, say, Jojo Rabbit. I came out and I told everyone to go see it.
Right.
This was one where I'm like, I'd like some people's opinion on it. I don't know. I only heard, like, one other person saw it. They seemed to have kind of it was interesting, lukewarm kind of opinion on it as well.
All right. So next one is you had Bros.
Hilarious. If you don't mind gay stuff on screen, it's hilarious.
Tim Dillon said it was a little strong.
What was one of the first shows with like a really gay, with a major gay character, 6 Feet Under. And my dad used to love 6 Feet Under, and he goes like, but I always love watching the guys kiss. And I'm like, who cares? That's not a big deal. Like, I don't give a shit. But like, if that makes you uncomfortable, this movie's gonna make you uncomfortable. Yeah, well, if you watch two guys make out for a second, yeah, you're gonna laugh your ass off.
Sam, I heard it's a little deeper than that. Tim Dillon said it was way deeper than just the guys kissing.
Oh well, yeah. There's two sex scenes with more than three people in it.
You can't do that. Okay, so Tim Dillon was right. It's
raunchy, but I mean, you know, it's so is most.
No,
who made this movie? The 40-year-old virgin guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought it was Billy Eichner who directed.
Well, I think he wrote it, but. Well, maybe what's his face is only a producer on it. Okay. I don't know why I can't think of his name.
I know.
Seth Rogen, but like, no, that's not it.
Seth Rogen. He did Sausage Party.
Yeah, I can Gary Shandling's good buddy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head for some reason.
Okay, Sam, go cook dinner for your wife, and we will talk later. We've gone through a lot, so that's okay.
No, yeah, so... Last thing, Sandman got renewed, so rejoice. We're going to get more Sandman.
That's good.
And, yeah, that's a good news. I mentioned it earlier, bye-bye Westworld, burn in hell. Don't want to waste your time trying to think if you're a good show anymore or not.
Watch the first season. And
when we come back to you, I want to talk. This show looks really interesting on Netflix called The Watcher. I don't know if you've seen any previews for it. About a family that moves into a house and someone writes a note being like, hey, we've been watching your house for you for long periods of time. Thanks for moving in. Hopefully you guys are a good fit. And they're like, they keep getting notes about the house and stuff and they don't know who's watching them. And it sounds really fun and creepy. And we got Wakanda Forever next week, you know? So I got my tickets for Thursday.
I figured you pre-bought.
Oh, well, you know, I wasn't sure. I've been teasing my wife, telling her I don't know if she gets to go because I might want the extra seat next to me just to turn and cry and do every time they make like a Chadwick Boseman reference and I can't handle it.
Emotional.
Need to cry so all the rest of the moviegoers can't see me.
You know what I'm going to do? I wait for it to be on Disney Plus. Guess who's guess who subscribed to Disney Plus? Not me.
Yeah, well, you can finally watch. Have you watched Doctor Strange yet?
Two? We talked about it, Sam. That movie sucked balls.
I just can't keep track. You're so far behind with us young hip kids.
Sam, I saw that opening week. It blew ass.
I didn't mind it, but
you didn't.
You think it could have been better.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. It blew ass.
Yeah. Well, again, I liked it, but...
No, yeah, you didn't. Like, you didn't.
It was one of those things where like you didn't realize the lesson until like it was the end of the movie.
No,
like,
that's called bad story writing 101. You know that.
To learn from Stephen Strange.
Stop. You come on, Sam. You know better than this. It wasn't good.
No. So yeah, when we get back. Okay. I'll have my Wakanda Forever review.
Okay, that's good enough.
Well, I'll be bummed out that they gave it to the one person nobody wanted to be the next Black Panther. Because
she's Republican, or, so we can't Nakia like her.
Or right. Winston Duke. I can't think of his M'Baku, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Shuri.
Based on trailers, I saw boobs. So I'm going to assume that's a Republican that no one likes.
It's the anti-vaxxer.
That is the most ridiculous thing in the world. I just happen to be on the other side of the fence. Oh, you can't like me anymore. Yeah, we'll see how this works.
Well, and she's frail. She's breaking ankles. Put this whole movie behind. The whole Marvel schedule's thrown off.
Sam, women can do anything men can do. Sam, stop. You can't say that kind of stuff.
No, I'm joking. I'm saying she's frail as in... I just named two other female three potential replacements and two were female.
Sam, you
sound like my friend that was getting mad at me the other day for saying I like the Asian kicker. He's all, shh. He's like, my neighbor has an Asian girlfriend. I was like, and I said I like the Asian guy. What's the problem?
Sam, I want them to come after me, not you. I'm literally laying smoke down. That's all. Hey,
did
folks.
Did I he him a they? What did I do wrong?
Oh, if I could show you something that would throw your mind into absolute pieces. All right, go cook dinner.
Hey, Watchers of the Plus, the official podcast of not apologizing for accidentally not knowing somebody that was a they them, because we're not personal friends with every person in the world.
Okay. We're okay. We'll live.
Yeah.
It's all going to change.
All right, Moes.
All right.
I'm going to go fire it up.
Okay, be good.